We're going to read today Matthew 25, 1 to 13. We continue the theme of the kingdom of heaven. And I pray that you follow not only the words that are being projected, but if you have your Bibles, to follow through it, to think about these words that we are going to share today. And it starts on the first verse of Matthew 25. It says as follows: "Then the kingdom of heaven will be like this. 10 bridesmaids took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, and 5 of them were wise. When the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As their bridegroom was delayed, all of them became drowsy and slept. But at midnight, there was a shout, 'Look, here's the bridegroom. Come out to meet him.' Then all those bridesmaids who got up and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.' But the wise replied, 'No, there will not be enough for you and for us. You had better go to the dealers and buy some for yourselves.' And while they went to buy it, the bridegroom came. And those who were ready went with them into the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the other bridesmaids came also, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he replied, 'Truly, I tell you, I do not know you. Keep awake, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour.'" Let us pray. Gracias, Señor. Gracias. Thank you, Lord, for this time, for the opportunity to be here with you and with each other. And I pray, Lord, that your words may echo in our minds, hearts, and soul. And help us, Lord, to interpret these words. Feed us as we look to you for guidance in life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, you all know today we celebrate All Saints' Day, right? All right. And I was really going to sing, "Oh, when the saints come marching in," right? We're planning on doing that, but maybe we would have done it. And go around and march around, you know, do something to remind us of the day. But you know that traditionally, All Saints' Day is celebrated to remember those who have come before us, especially those who have passed in the year past. But also there is that traditional celebration with the Mexican community, El Día de los Muertos. And that one is also based on the idea of remembering the dead, the ones that have come before us. And I don't know if you're aware of this, but the Jewish people are the ones that started it all. We like to claim these things for ourselves, but the Jewish people are the ones that really started it all. And if you look at the first 5 books of the Bible, the Pentateuch, you will see many genealogies. And if you look at the book of Matthew, at the beginning, the first thing that you get is another genealogy. And looking back to the ancestry, looking back to the ones that have come before, that's valuable in the Jewish community. And we have sort of inherited that and, you know, made our own twist around them. But it's important to realize that the practice of remembering is also what Jesus did with his disciples. Now, instead of looking back, Jesus tells them to look forward. Every time that you meet together and you do this, you will remember until the day that I come back. So the ones that came before us have something to teach us. I've mentioned before to you all that it'd be great if all of us had the opportunity to learn from other people's experiences. But as that reality sets, it's very hard for us to learn from others, right? We have to experience things ourselves. So those that come before us are important. Important for us to see. As a matter of fact, when we look at Scripture, basically what we're doing is we are reading their stories, and we're meditating and thinking about what they have experienced and how that applies to us. They all have something to teach us. I want to remind you that we look back not to live nor relive their lives, but to use what they have lived as a reference for our presence and our future. And when we look at this parable today, we see it a parable that is not easy to digest. It's one of the hardest parables to interpret. I had to read a lot of commentaries, and I have to tell you, I didn't agree with most of them. But in the time that we're looking back and trying to remember all the saints that have come before us, this parable does make us look back to the future. Did you get that? It sounds like a movie, right? This parable is blunt. It's inflexible. It makes you wonder about a future that is unknown and mysterious. The kingdom of heaven will be like this, says Jesus when he starts. And I personally have issues with it, because when I look back at how it has been used in the past and how it has been interpreted, it's always bothered me. There was a preacher in Puerto Rico who became world renowned really in the Hispanic community. His name was G.J. Avila. And he used this parable a lot to distinguish between those who would be saved and those who wouldn't. And given that Matthew several times emphasizes, you know, distinguishing between the goats and the sheep, you know, the wolf and the sheep, his logic was that the door closed behind the groom, and that meant that the plane was leaving, and you had no chance to take it anymore. You know, it's like, say, virgin heir, right? You know, in the older versions of the scripture, instead of bridesmaid, it was 10 virgins, and that's what I thought about virgin heir, and there's, of course, pun intended on that. But when the door closes, what happens? No more chance. Have you ever been in an airport and gotten to the gate, but not in time?
Left behind.
Yes, you'll get left behind, exactly. It means no entry. You have no chance. It implied that there's no salvation for those who are left behind when the door closes. And the emphasis on that interpretation was that you can do everything right in your life but still not qualify because your ticket wasn't scanned at the right time, or you didn't have enough points in your account to qualify for the flight. So it's like, you know, thank you very much, but whoops, you can't make it. Good try. It was a good try. You did almost good. There was a program in Puerto Rico, El Tío Noel. He had a children's program, and he would call those who had won the little games that they played, they would call them winners. And the ones that didn't win, they call them almost winners. So for those which door closes behind, it's like saying you're almost the winner. And I guess I'm a rebel because I simply do not agree with that interpretation. I refuse to think that the kingdom of heaven is based on how good we are, or how astute we are, or how prepared even we are. How prepared we are for the flight. I wonder if you didn't know how long a flight would take, or where you were really going, would you know how to prepare for it? So how do you prepare for a journey like this? A journey that is somewhat of a mystery. I do think, though, that Jesus is trying to make a point about those in the journey. I think that Jesus is calling his people to a future reality, which is that the bridegroom is coming and that we have a job to do. And I think that the point being made relates to living a life of faith that leads to works rather than a life of works that leads to salvation. Did you get that?
Yes.
I think that it points that for us to be leading a life of faithful work, but not necessarily the one life that you accumulate all those points so that you can qualify. Let me state two things that I think made me think that way. First, where's the bride in the whole story? You ever wonder? The bride wasn't even considered. It was completely overlooked. She's not talked about. And you know that the bride symbolizes the church, doesn't it? The believers, the body of believers is known as the bride in Scripture many times. But it is absent in this story. The focal point becomes the coming of the groom instead. And second, the exhortation that Jesus presents to us is not whether or not to be the church, the bride, right? But of staying awake because the time of the coming is approaching but is unknown. I want you to think about those things. The bride is not there. And the other thing is that the focal point is about staying awake. Staying aware of what's happening. So there's those two things. There's one more thing. The third thing is that the teaching of the wise and the foolish bridesmaids builds on the previous teaching of the wise and foolish servants that is in the previous parable there. So both parables illustrate the need to live in a manner that expects the return of the Lord, even when the return is delayed. Aha! Now we have something. What a concept. A return that is delayed. In a time when we are used to flight delays, it happens all the time. This concept seems to be the norm. But when we look back and think of the ones who were hearing these words, expectant about the future and what it would hold for them, thinking of a messianic age, we can then relate to Jesus' advice. Jesus is making the point that he is going to die. that he is going to come back to life, that he is going to ascend to heaven, and then there would be a time of waiting. Waiting and waiting and waiting. And 2,000 years later, we're still waiting. That's quite a delay, don't you think? If it was in our context, that flight would be canceled a long time ago. And I tell you, sometimes people think that the flight had been canceled because all this waiting has not produced much of evidence that Christ is coming. You see, I think that that is how the kingdom would be for those who were listening at the time. But it is also how the kingdom would be for us today while we wait. What are we doing? While we wait for Christ's return, how are we living? And I think that that is the point. We are to be faithful. We are to be awake. We are to be ready in the sense that we are to be expectant for that return. Now, being ready for the coming of the Lord, doing the things that we must do for His glory when He comes back is a little bit of a mystery. That's why it's so difficult. That's why it is so hard for us to pinpoint what it is. And sometimes, when we get to really thinking about it, sometimes we ask the questions, Lord, what is your will for my life? Have you found yourself asking that question? I do have an answer for you. Whatever. Remember? Whatever. Whatever is good. Whatever is honest. Whatever is honorable. Whatever. It's in the spirit of Christ. Whatever will follow the steps that the teacher has taught us. Whatever that you do, remember that God is with you, walking alongside. Now, I sometimes wish I could scare people into heaven. That was the idea in Gigi Avila. I love the man. I mean, he's passed now. He is one of those that we can look back and say, what a faithful man. Even though I don't agree with his interpretation of Scripture. But isn't that what we do? Remember those who have come before us and asking God to help us to be faithful for the generations that are to come until Jesus shows up. May God bless His word. Jesus, we love you and we ask you in this moment that you may, in our hearts and in our souls and in our minds, instill this sense of awareness, of well-being. The fact that we are your sons, your daughters, is what should make us happy. It's what should make us grateful. It's what should make us stand in the midst of this society and say, Christ lives. Help us, Lord, to be faithful in this journey Help us, Lord, to continue to put your name forth and proclaim it as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Help us to learn more about you from your word and follow your steps. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.